their ability to change, they had to step up. And those of you, we have some of them here, right here in this congregation, you had to step up and be both parents. And happy Father's Day to you, too. You did a fantastic job. Amen. As a father, the man of the house, we're not so much the nurturers. I wish probably sometimes we were better nurturers. I have strived to be a better nurturer, but as a father, most of the time we're better stretchers than we are nurturers. Nurturers bring them in, stretchers kind of push them away a little bit, you know. It's something that we've got to make sure. So I told my son as he was leaving, they're on their way right now to Texas as we speak, and not an easy move for me. It was tough on me. But as he has grown, he was just a child that I had to spend a little more time on stretching. But I told him, I said, you should be very proud of yourself. I said, I have no worries of you going to Texas and getting down there by yourself and making it. I said, before you left here, I said, we pushed you out. I remember the day we pushed him out. You parents who have had and raised children understand. Those of you who are raising right now, what I'm going to say, you can't comprehend. Okay? You can't comprehend. But don't get your feelings hurt at me, what I say here, because you just can't comprehend it yet. Okay? But there will come a time, I remember when they were just little like these two guys right here, and Aaron would look up at us and say, and he'd look at his mom and say, I'm never leaving. I'm always going to be here to protect you. I'm always going to be around. And Pat and I knew from the day that boy was born, he was leaving. You know, he had that personality. We knew we were just happy he didn't just grab a duffel bag and, and his laptop and just leave in sandals. We were just happy that but as that time rolled around, I kept hearing these words, I'm never going to leave, echoing. And he was a young adult. And we were thinking maybe he is never leaving, you know. And then, you know, as you will find raising boys grab hold of territory. They're territorial. It's just how they are. It's natural. It's a natural instinct that God gave us. We rise, slay, and eat. We stake territory. And we claim territory, and then we build on that, and we build our own, right? And wives, that's what you want in a husband. You want a husband to go get it, go get that territory, go get that land, start building your dream home, whether it's buying a home or whatever. You want to see him. He goes to work every day, what? To pay off that home, to get that home paid for. You know, he's wanting to, that's just to have a place that is, that you could call your own, and that's okay. That's part of our buildup. That's part of how God made us, okay? So that's natural. So you have to understand, as these boys get older, there's a natural thing going to take place in them. And it had taken place in ours. And he started taking over our home. He just decided to possess it, you know? And started running it like he wanted to run it. And one day we were sitting down, we decided, Pat and I, we have to have a talk. And Pat has always been kind of a jovial, you know, not too serious. She always lets me play the bad cop. She plays the good cop, you know, in the interrogation room. And so that's how we've always operated. The personalities fit well for that. So I can pretend to be bad, and she can always be good because she just is. So I'm going to go in this thing pretending to be, you know, the bad cop, and I'm going to have to break some news to him. I couldn't get anything out of my mouth. We sat down, and he sat down, and she says, I have some places for you to look at. It's time for you to move. I looked over at her, and I thought, wow. She had just, you know. So we went out, took him out looking at homes, took him out looking at rental property. We helped him move along. And we were talking about that this week. We got together before he left, and we were talking about that. I said, you know, you moved out. You went into this relationship. You had your own home. You had two retirement plans set up, your work retirement and a personal retirement plan set up. I said you had two cars going into this program, this relationship. I said you had your own refrigerator, your own stove, your own microwave. You had your own couch and a beautiful set of furniture. I mean, bedroom furniture. You had established your own home, son. You'd laid your own floors in your home. I said, I'm very proud of you. I know when you get to Texas, you can make it. Because I've watched you make it now. And I'm going to tell you, folks, it's a whole lot easier on you when they leave, you know they can make it. Because you made the hard choice to push them out of that nest. Now, out of three children, we only had one we had to push. One bolted and the other one left, you know. But we didn't have to come to them and say, hey, one we had to kind of push. And that was a hard day. It was tough on us, you know. And it helped me to understand a little bit more about God whenever we find him. The difference is with God, because all of us feel the transition in our life from time to time. Challenges come. Parents, I'm going to tell you, if you always step in to enable those children, they'll never walk as close to God as you are. That's a tough statement there. And I'm not going to take it too much further because it's your business. But if you're always stepping in, they will never learn to trust God themselves. You're trusting God for them. They have to trust God for themselves so that they move closer to him and they know he can answer. They know he can supply. They know he will never leave them nor forsake them. He will be with them closer than a brother. They need to know that he is there and it's not just a closer walk and closer relationship than what appears in church. It's more than that, okay? So what I want to say to you is God is never going to leave you. And God believes in you. God has a plan for your life. God, all this stuff that fathers have, we have plans. We have dreams. But the problem with us here on earth is when we push our children, we don't know if we're pushing them enough or if we're pushing them too much. We're always walking that razor's edge. Are we pushing them too hard or are we not pushing enough? Right? Because we don't want to hurt them and we don't want to break them. But we also don't want to enable them. It's just the Father in us. But here's the neat thing about your Heavenly Father. When he comes, he knows exactly how much pressure to put on. He never misses a step. He will never break you. So you can quit praying the prayer, Father, please break me and make me and mold me. He's not going to break you. God is not in the business of breaking you. He's in the business of healing you. So when we pray, God, break me, and we all may have prayed that prayer from time to time, trying to stop a habit, trying to stop something in our life or something we know we need to get out of the way, God, break me. God is, you're praying a prayer God's never going to do. But you are giving Satan an opportunity to come in as God and let you see God in a light you shouldn't see God. And you'll blame God for the breaking, and it never was God breaking. It was you opened up your mouth asking for something. God wouldn't do it, but the devil sure will. Oh, he'll come in and he'll break. He'll break you right in two. And then you'll think it was God because you asked him to do it. That's praying amiss. God never comes to break. He broke his son and he crushed his son. You are not the rose of Sharon. He does not need to crush you to make a beautiful smell. He pours his spirit out on you to create a beautiful smell. So you're walking in the fragrance of God, not in the fragrance of you. Hello. Stop and think about this. We have to interpret that Bible right. What would our fragrance smell like if he broke us up and crushed us? Not too good, I can tell you right now. What happens when something doesn't go your way and you're planning it? You know, you're hoping it's going to happen. You just know it's going to happen. And then it doesn't happen. What do you smell like then? Not too good, right? That's the smell of our breaking and our crushing. God's not in the business of breaking and crushing us. He's already been in the business of breaking and crushing his son. And now he pours that out on you. Okay? So I'm just wanting to get some things lined out before we go into this. I'll give you some scripture in just a second. But God is a father that knows exactly how much to prune. He knows exactly how much to cut off. And we cannot force growth during a pruning season. Did you get that? You can't force growth in a pruning season. You need to take the pruning and trust that he is shaping you in the direction of your heart's desire, because he put your heart's desire in you. Okay? Now we know that. This is called, I call this an evaluation of every circumstance and situation, troubleshooting your situation is really what I call it. It's troubleshooting your situation. You can name it that today. Troubleshooting your situation. Circumstances come to us and we run to the old things that we've been taught because we've not studied ourselves and gotten a walk of our own. We're walking through someone else's walk. And so we look at it as, well, God giveth, God taketh away, blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, that's what Job prayed, and we grab a hold of that message, and we believe that. God gives and God takes away. Where in the Bible can you confirm that? If you live in the idea that God's giving and God's taking away, then how do you trust somebody? If you had a friend that was all the time giving you something and then came back and took it back, how much a friend would that be? Now, God said he's a friend that walks closer than a brother. Okay, now that's who he said he is. He's a friend of all friends. He's a father of all fathers. He's a brother of all brothers. He's a friend of all friends, folks. And you believe that he would come and give you something and then take it back. If you had a friend that did that, how long would they be your friend? Said, hey, I came in a great deal of money, and I bought this boat, and I'm bringing it over to you. I know you always wanted a boat, and I'm giving you this boat, and you go out and enjoy it, and you enjoy it a few weekends, and all of a sudden you hear him outside, and he drives up, and He says, title on that boat, I got it right here, and I've changed my mind. I'm going to take that boat back. I don't think you've really learned how to take care of a boat. I'm not sure you really know how to really have fun on a boat. Besides that, you probably need to learn how to provide your own boat. And you should be really ashamed to even want a boat. Hello? I mean, folks, does this not sound like the Christian life sometimes? God does not operate that way. He does not operate that way. He is not someone who comes and gives and then takes it back. He gives, and the Bible says he gives some more. He doesn't give and take back. He gives and gives some more. Okay? So we have to understand, troubleshoot the situation to the word of God and the promises of God of what he has said about it. What did he say about it? See, I get it. This is a big, big issue for me. Backsliding in church. That drives me up a wall. It used to bother me as a kid, wasn't sure about it. Felt like I was half the time there, you know, backslidden. I see a lot of you shaking your head. Yep, yep. Felt backslidden, everything looked backslidden. I must be backslidden. And it, that was my salvation based on how I handle my salvation. God's the one that came in and said, he that began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. Whose responsibility is it to complete it? His responsibility, right? Now, with it being his responsibility, here comes in the challenges of your walk. Here's where you have to look to God and know he's maturing you. He's making you into something. One prophet said he saw a vision and the father was saying, come with me out here to the pot, to the potter's shack. What's that? Well, I'm going to show you how we do this. I'm going to show you the process. How many of you ever watched somebody do pottery? You slap that clay on there, right? And what's the first thing you do? You pour water on that clay. What's he do? First thing he does, he pours the water of the word on you. And then next, it goes out of control. Not out of his control, out of your control. It's no. Have you ever been in a challenge that all of a sudden everything you, like yesterday, you were the champion. And somehow in the middle of the next day, you're all of a sudden, you don't have any control over anything. The bank is calling, your business is failing, or this, that, and the other's happening, and you just don't know where to even find the ends to. What's going on? What's happening to you? God, why is this always happening to me? One step forward, two steps back. Why are you always doing this to me? Why, I'm a child of God, and I shouldn't ever have to put up with this. You're going to keep putting up with that until you quit screaming. He's making you now. He's the one pushing the wheel. He's the one pouring the water, and he's the one putting his hands out there to make sure you don't come off the edges, that you don't fly off. Amen. See, there comes a time in our life for him to make and mold because there's still stuff in us. And he talks about in that storyline of taking some of that garbage out of us to make it a pure vessel. Why? So when he fills it, it doesn't leak anywhere. He's making you a vessel to be poured out to others. And if he leaves the mar and the messed up mess in it, there's where the crack will be when you go through the fire. And then when he pours the water in you, before he can get it to someone else to drink, the water will have already leaked out. And what we as parents want to do when we see our children in those situations, circumstances, we want to run and rescue them out of it. We want to help them. And God's building character in them. He's building endurance in them. He's building an everlasting covenant in them. He's building a relationship in them. And we've got to back off. Just like we as our own individuals, self, we've got to quit getting off the potter's wheel. We've got to stay on and hang on and see where God's taken us. Where is this going? Because, see, here's the thing. No weapon formed against me will prosper. God has his hand on me. He's in the front of me. He's in my rear reward. He's at my side. Satan cannot touch me. Sin has no hold on me. So if all those things are true and I'm going through a challenge, who's allowing this challenge? And we're blaming everybody else for this challenge. And the one behind the scenes on the challenge is God, because he sees something in that clay that's got to come out. Because it's too late. You already have been chosen. And after you got a little close to God, you spent some time crying out to him, make me and mold me. You've made some cries out to him. God, I want your will done. I want to see you work in my life. I want to see the promises of God fulfilled. I want to see the power of God work through me. He goes, okay, here we go. And then we're going, oh, stop. Mama, Daddy, help, grandma, grandpa, somebody, get me off this. This is too much. We feel like we've been cut back too much. We were just about to bear fruit. We were just about to, the business was just about to prosper. And then all of a sudden, clip, 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 clip. And we're going, what happened? We had a plan here. You and your wife looking at eyeball to eyeball going, what happened? What, where did the finances go? What took place here? It's like this dried up and that dried up and the promotion I was going to get, it got turned down. And the loan we were going to get, it got turned down. And the hopes we had for this or that got turned down. What's going on? And immediately, what do we go to? What are we conformed to go to? The devil. The devil got in here and wrecked my situation. The devil came in and working here or working there. The devil. He has no authority in your life. You're now a believer. Did you pray for God to break you and invite him in? If you didn't invite him in, he has no authority. God's got you protected. If God has you protected, why can't you just trust? Pat and I had the opportunity for our life. It was a lifetime opportunity. Last year, in the middle of the pandemic, we were asked to do a bid, and we were praying for a breakthrough of some kind. God just show us. And this came into our hands, and we placed the bid, did everything we were supposed to do, and then I got a call for an order. And we're talking about life-changing money. We're talking about we would be going to a two-day week work week. We would be making more money than we've ever made in our life. This is an amazing thing. And I got the call for the first order. And we're so excited. And I'm making calls to see how do I place this order and where do I get it delivered and how am I going to do this. And I'm getting it all together because I'm going to make this order. And then the next day when I'm getting ready to call and make the order and place it and have this product coming to me, I get a call and said, hey, we have to cancel that. Okay. Listen, Pat and I have learned a long time ago, this is God's, it's not ours. So I didn't get upset with the man. I just said, is everything okay? Are you all right? I started asking about him. Well, actually, I'm transferring, and I'm no longer over this department, so I have no authority to order that product. Okay. So you'll have to contact somebody. So now I'm looking at this. I got to start all over again. You know? But you know what? It's in God's hands. It's in God's hands. If I'm that close to the breakthrough, how close is the breakthrough really there? It's just right there. Any moment, it's going to be there. Any moment, it's coming into my hands. And that's how we decided to look at it. The fruit was about to, it was about to flower. You know, before that fruit comes out, the flowers, and it was flowering. We're thinking, oh boy, we're finally going to get to pastor. Amen? And then all of a sudden, it was gone just that fast. You know what? We know that there's still things in play. I got a call the other day. Things are still in play. Got a call. Would you please contact us? Would you please give us this information? Things are still in play. And you know what I said? God, I'm not pushing any of this. I'm not getting off this wheel. I'm staying right where I'm at. You got your hands on Pat and I. You're gonna bless us. And it might not even be through this that you bless us. But we're going to just show you how we're going to handle this appointment. We're going to praise you. Why do I feel that way? Because we know who has control in our life. And we know he will never leave us and he will never forsake us. He will be with us to the very end of our plan and road and dreams. He will always be there. Amen. He will always take care of us. I'm not going to worry about it, because that would be like worrying like a sparrow. And he said the sparrows have a house. They don't reap and sow. Amen. And yet the Lord takes care of them, right? Then you have to stop and wonder, when's the last time you saw a little sparrow out there with his little straw hat on and his rake, and he's out there working the ground trying to make a garden. You don't ever see a little sparrow like that, do you? No. Because he doesn't have to. And God says, and you're so much more than a sparrow. I've got my hand on you. Amen? So folks, we have to just realize God has this plan for us. And he's not forsaking us. We're gonna stay in that trust. Now listen, here's the difference in walking with God and trying to walk through someone else's. I've seen people, they read the Bible, and Peter was in the jail cell, and he was James had just been killed. They just martyred James. Now the church is there. And what's happened here basically is this. They just martyred. They came and found Kurt, and they found Rick, and they found Austin, and they found the rest of my board, and they killed them all. And they grabbed me, because I'm the pastor. They grabbed me and put me in jail, because they don't want to just kill me. They want to kill me in front of everyone. Okay? They just killed them where they're at to get to me. Now they got me. Now, how is the church feeling right now? How are you all feeling right now? You turned on Channel 3 and said, oh, my God, they killed Kurt Wharton. They killed him out there on the square. They grabbed a hold of Austin. They murdered him. Pat's dead. They're killing them all. And now they got Dean in jail. And not just in jail, they got him in the lower level to make sure he doesn't escape. Right? What did the church do? They cried out to God, prayed, and Peter's chains fell right off. Right? And he was free. Walked right out of that prison cell. Right? Same scenario, kind of the same scenario. The jailer jailed two disciples. They got in there, and what they do when they're sitting there in the dark, they started praising the Lord. And they praised the Lord. The jail cells shook, and the shame chains came off. This is in the church era, okay, right now. Chains came off, and they walk out, okay? All right? That doesn't give us a pattern. What caused them to praise the Lord? What caused them to cry out to God? Their walk with him and knowing who to go to when we're in the throes of a challenge, when we're in the throes of life and death situations. Who do we go to? We go to the rock. We go to the one who gave us our salvation. If you can't trust him on these things, how in the world do you think he's going? How in the world are you going to lift off this ground, lose your gravity, and meet him in the air? Hello? Talk about a fantasy camp style story. That one is one. The world has a struggle to believe that. Is that going to happen? Absolutely yes. How do I know? Because I have a relationship with him, and I know who to go to, and I don't go because I saw a pattern in the Bible. I go because I know him, and he's the only one I have. He's always been the only one I have. He's not my last choice. He's the only choice I've ever had. Amen? He's my only choice. And when the challenges come, my first evaluation and troubleshooting of that challenge is, okay, what's happening here? I didn't invite the devil in this, so I just want you to understand you have no place in this. Now, Father, your hand is on me. And I'm going to walk through this, and I'm coming out of it better than I went into it. Amen? You're never going to get past this mountain you keep going around if you don't get here. You're never gonna the situations that you keep coming around to is never going to stop until you finally let God do the fullness of it. You keep putting him in the starting gate. And you get around to a certain degree of what you feel is pain and anguish, which is not pain and anguish at all. Amen. He's not going to put a disease on you. He's not going to put sickness on you. He's not going to harm you. Okay? It is about him growing you up and preparing you to be everything you have been promised to be. If you see somebody who's carrying a great pitcher of water for God, and they water many people, I can guarantee you they went through one heck of a potter's wheel to get there. They allowed him to trim them anyway. They finally found a place in their life, and some people do this earlier than others. They found a place in their life, that tree stands still, and let the trimming begin, and I'm standing still till the trimming is over. Have you ever seen somebody trim a tree and then it gets halfway done and left for a year? That's really nasty looking tree. Amen. And then you trim on a little bit more and then you leave it and then it gets nastier. And before it's over with, you got this tree that was supposed to be a beautiful tree and it's really a nasty looking tree because it's just been chopped at and chopped at. What happens is, folks, it's not turning out like we planned and it's not looking as good as it should look because we keep moving on God and saying, that's enough. And God will not take you any further than you allow him. Remember, he is a gentleman. And you can know him as well as you want to know him and you can get as close to him as you want to get. And you can let him trim on you as long as you want to let him trim. And then you can step off. But folks, he's trying to get us to stand still long enough to shape us in the direction of our heart's cry. Amen? Is that all right today? Because that's just what a father does. He keeps shaping and clipping and clipping and shaping. And I recognize this in my children because some stand still, some come looking for it. That's, you know, I'm one of those with God. I've come looking for it, asking for it, you know. And then you get it, and it's not what you thought it was going to be. And I remember whining and crying a lot about it too. But when I learned to quit whining, I learned to quit crying, and I learned to quit moving. And I learned to stand still and know that he is God. Are you seeing the pieces of the scripture coming together? Be still and know that he is God. And let him finish it. Let him go ahead. But I might lose everything. Really, you got a better idea than God? Let him finish. And then he'll start tending to you and fertilizing you and start working with you and watering you and you're going to grow in the direction that he has trimmed you and he's trimmed you in the direction of your heart's cry. Oh my. My. It'll be better than what you think. It'll be better than what you think if you can sit still. If you can sit still long enough, there's the challenge. Can you sit still long enough? Amen. Father, we thank you for your word today. We give you praise and we give you credit, Father, for the work that you're doing in our life. May we never cease to cry out to you to take us to that next level. Father, let us know what the first levels feel like. Give us the courage to stand still. Give us the courage to sit still. Give us the courage to shut our mouth. Give us the courage, Father, to know that you are God and you're going to take care of us. Father, let us have that relationship with you. Draw us to that relationship. Give us confidence in you. Father, show us, Father, your steadfastness. Show us your love. Show us, Father, your goodness. Show us, Father, your trust, your faith. Father, that we can have faith in you to sit still, stand still, and let you do your perfect work so we can get beyond this mountain that we keep going around and we can move on forward, Father God, to the kingdom of God and to the blessing that flows in it. So that, Father, we can be a pitcher of water. We can be fruit to those who are hungry and water to those who are thirsty. We give you the praise and the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Happy Father's Day.